The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in on the HR&P listener line. A couple of texts in response to our last segment where we found out that the Tennessee Titans are likely to wear Houston Oilers uniforms for their game against the Houston Texans next season. A couple of texts wearing the Oiler jersey is just a snub to the city of Houston. That's from the 936, from the 832. The NFL should step in and correct this. I do kind of want to tattle, but I feel like we'll look like little bees that can't get over it if we do. It's a tricky situation to be in. I do think, though, that the NFL could step in here and stop that. It is a giant middle finger to a city that stole the team. Excuse me, a city that the team was stolen from. Do you feel like the Indianapolis Colts would wear the Unitas throwbacks that they have against the Baltimore Ravens? The Ravens do play the Browns twice a year, so that one's over. But that, I guess, would be the comparison to make. If the Colts wore those Baltimore uniforms they have where the horseshoes are on the back of the helmet as opposed to on the side of the helmet for a home game against the Baltimore Ravens.
Or it'd be like if the Baltimore Ravens honored like Bernie Kosar or something at halftime. They're like, he did so much for...
Of a Browns game?
Yeah. He did so much for Baltimore, for the Baltimore Ravens organization.
Right, but the Browns got their history back.
Yes.
So that's the difference there. Like, they wouldn't actually be able to do it. I think there is a chance the NFL might step in on this one. Because they have to, ahead of time, tell the league what uniforms they're going to wear what week. There's a reason the Texans put out that, like, schedule with, like, Battle Red Day and Liberty White Day.
Yeah, it's also to help the fans, you know, like, that's the day I wear my Battle Red.
Right, to get excited. What else do we have here? Both New York and Los Angeles have NFL teams. Why can't Houston, from the 832? What's to stop the Oilers from moving back here? I don't think this city would do well with two NFL teams. I don't.
Imagine the Texans crowds without, you know, with competition.
Yeah.
It's already bad. And I assume it's going to be the Houston Oilers coming back too, so.
Right. There's not enough interest, in my opinion. I know a lot of people would argue otherwise, but nah, I don't think people are going to be that excited about another team moving to town. I don't. Plus, you got the Roughnecks. The Roughnecks, they still haven't lost a game. Sean Mapes went to the game on Sunday night.
Roughnecks!
Thank you, John Granato. Okay, there is a story that has been put into a bunch of different outlets about the Chicago Bears and what they're going to do with the first overall pick. This was Rich Eisen in a segment that he did on his radio show yesterday with the five juiciest rumors he heard at the NFL Combine, talking about the Bears and what they plan to do with that number one overall pick.
Bears are already long down the road of trading the first overall pick. Teams have been identified. Compensation is being hammered out.
Wow.
Yeah. And sure enough, I saw Ryan Poles say today, I believe in Peter King's Football Morning in America column, if I'm not mistaken, saying that, hey, teams kind of want to know maybe before free agency begins if they have a draft pick high enough to take a kid. And if a team wants that quarterback certainty this early in the process, they're going to have to pay for it. Man, Poles is playing this thing like a virtuoso so far. As far as I'm concerned. So I hear the Bears are already long down the road in trading this first round draft choice.
Virtuoso? Why doesn't he just say, you know, like something normal?
He has to flex the. He's a Michigan guy, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Michigan men.
Highfalutin.
A person who excels in the performance of an art is what virtuoso means. Now, Rich Eisen's a Jets fan, so I just question his overall knowledge of football by default. You think that this is playing it well? Second-year GM won't shut up about his number one overall draft pick that he intends to move? Paul said this to Peter King. No one's going to rush me. I know I can get a 2024 first-round pick and a 2025 first-round pick. You're telling me for the next 2 years, I'll have two ones? That's either four really good players, or if we're cruising, we can still trade back. From what I understand, he's essentially saying that you can do a pick swap in the first round and get two more first-round picks. What? Two to move up? One extra one with the swap. Okay, I could understand that. Two? That's where you're starting? And he has been talking to everyone. He was on Pardon My Take as well. You know what I smell when I see a general manager that is regularly whoring himself out to the media? I see desperation. You can't inflate a market by constantly talking about something when you're a second-year general manager. Teams across the league are probably looking at Ryan Poles with the side eye. He's in his second year as general manager. This is a guy who traded the 32nd overall pick in the draft for Chase Claypool, who is not a very good wide receiver. This guy isn't the sharpest, in my opinion. He might become that someday, but experience matters when you're a general manager. If you're a general manager across the league and you see this guy flexing and talking to everybody, do you actually believe that he's going to get the compensation that he is essentially promising here? I don't. Not at all. Experience matters, and any general manager, I think, should play hardball with Ryan Poles. You want to play it like this? Make him wait. Poles wants this done by the end of free agency or the start. He wants it done now. That's why he's talking about things from this perspective. There's progress. Things have moved down the road. The only team that I think would be perhaps that desperate are the Colts, but the Colts are playing hardball publicly. The Texans have been playing hardball publicly. The Texans are acting like, yeah, we need two quarterbacks. We're not really sure where we're going to get them. And Chris Ballard did not marry himself to the idea of trading up to number one. He was the one pushing back with Jim Irsay in that introductory press conference for their new head coach, Shane Steichen. So I think if you're a general manager right now, just wait. Poles will panic and probably get less than what he is looking for if you just wait until right before the start of the NFL draft. He is trying to create an artificial market. This is Media 101. If you've been following the NFL enough, like the people who are blabbing the most about trying to make something happen are generally desperate to make something happen and don't have the market that they think that they do. So this is this is very see-through in my opinion. I think that the Bears are very likely, just given their history, to bleep this up again, because that's what they do. The Bears are a terrible organization and have been for years. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Ban Swanger on twitch.tv/ESPN975 says, the Chicago GM thinks he's Kevin Costner. Yes! That is perfect, from the movie Draft Day, which you might have seen. Calm down, bro.
I do like the, like, publicly, basically just telling Peter King, like, this is what I would love to get. A 24 and a 25 first. Don't pick up the phone unless you're offering that. It's like, everyone is like, it's negotiating 101. It's like, I'm going to ask for so much.
Right.
Publicly. And then it's like, okay, come on.
I mean,
you're a 2025 first.
What a hard-o. No one's going to rush me. Okay. What happens if no one rushes you and they just wait you out? You will panic and take less than what you think you can get right now. So let's see. If I'm a general manager, I see this guy talking, I'm like, F him.
It's also very funny that he's a second year general manager, like with a pretty big decision to make.
Yes.
And also Nick Caserio here, his second year, had to trade Deshaun Watson. It's like both these guys just like, oh yeah, here's the deep end. Enjoy.
This isn't the deep end though. This is a 37-year-old ex-player in this role that I think believes himself to be very good at this job. I think he's operating with ego here. Why? You traded a first-round pick for Chase Claypool, who is not a plus wide receiver in the NFL. He's not. It's a guy who thinks he's like a top five wide receiver for some crazy reason. He's not. I don't think highly of Ryan Poles to this point. I don't understand why.
Just the Chase Claypool.
That's a terrible trade. That was a terrible trade. I get it. You want to get help for Justin Fields. That's desperate. It is. And this, like saying, like, no one's going to rush me. Sorry, I see through this. This is young general manager trying to figure it out on the fly, thinking that he has a handle by granting access. And Rich Eisen saying, like, yeah, he's playing this like a virtuoso. Rich, stick to the Jets. Just stop.
Well, no, that is I had dinner with Ryan Poles.
Probably.
that is I had dinner with this guy, so he's great.
The amount of people, no offense to Jake Asman, but the amount of people who like are Jets fans in prominent roles in national media that talk about the NFL, they're just always wrong. Mike Greenberg, Jason McIntyre, who's Colin Cowherd's little sock puppet stooge on that show, and Rich Eisen. Sorry, like, great, you got a little extra NFL access. I still think that you look at things through the prism of being a Jets fan, and because of that just loser juice that's in your DNA, you're never truly going to understand how the NFL works. Like me, a Patriots fan. Like, you just don't. Some of us are born blessed. Hashtag blessed. Paul Galan Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. Something's going on in West Palm Beach with the Houston Astros that should have you a bit concerned. Plus, we do our own version of a World Baseball Classic preview. It's Paul Galan Show. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real. Let's go! Fun. Sports. Interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
It's a catchy song, guys. Olivia Rodrigo. She's singing about somebody who's found love elsewhere and not with her. And she just says, good for you, and she says it a bunch of times. I don't know what the rest of the lyrics are. This is just an instrumental version? Okay. I wasn't sure if we were going to hit the lyrics.
No, it's just instrumental.
I wasn't sure, Sean, if you're going to play it for me so that I can actually, you know, next time I sing it, know the words. Okay,
you're going to have to do that in your own time, Paul. you're going to have to put it on your Spotify when you're on your ride home.
Smart man. Hey, the Houston Astros will likely be using Hunter Brown a lot more, given that Lance McCullers is expected to be out for, I would imagine, sometime. That's all you can say. What is sometime with Lance McCullers? It's all relative, I guess. But things have not been going so well for Hunter Brown in West Palm Beach. Here is the latest on the young Astros pitcher. He walked all three batters he faced in the second inning yesterday before he was pulled. In his first two Grapefruit League starts, he's walked five batters and have thrown just 38 of his 73 pitches for strikes, 52% clip. An opposing scout that watched his start yesterday attributed the decline to, quote, mechanical consistency. Okay. Well, you want to stick in that major league rotation. Consistency is generally key. It's early in spring training. Perhaps this is something that we're forgetting about, because remember, if you ask any pitcher about their struggles in spring training, they'll just say, yeah, I'm working on my stuff. You know, I'll figure it out. But Hunter Brown sounded a little bit more concerned when asked about it. Somewhat concerning. Somewhat interesting coming out of West Palm Beach. As far as the Astros' depth, Mauricio Dubon, it sounds like he is going to be the Astros' backup shortstop. And I guess the utility middle infielder. And he and David Hensley are going to, I guess, be the split utility guys for the Astros. The Stros view Dubon as their best defensive backup at shortstop. They deem his defense at short and in center field as above average. Wait, so he was just above average and he was still Justin Verlander's personal valet center fielder? Strange. The Astros might prefer Dubon as a backup middle infielder if necessary. David Hensley is the club's clear backup at third base and, barring a surprise, at first base too. Hensley, I'm excited about. I think Hensley's size makes him great for the corners. Dubon as a middle infielder is weird, and he can't hit. And I hope that being bigger is going to help him out, because he did pack on 25 pounds over the course of the last calendar year. But I don't feel great about Dubon at the plate. And you would imagine that Dubon will spell Jose Altuve a lot over the course of this coming year, because Altuve does get a good amount of days off. Alex Bregman, meanwhile, essentially was your Iron Man last year. He's like, he's played 150 games in every single season that he hasn't been hurt. So we'll see about the infield for the Houston Astros, but that's the latest coming out of West Palm Beach from our guy Chandler Rome. The World Baseball Classic's right around the corner. I've been very curious as to how you can play for a specific World Baseball Classic nation. And I did find this out, because it does seem like there are some means you can use to play for a country you're not actually from. So here are the rules. Players eligible if they're a citizen of the Federation team's country or territory, if they are a permanent legal resident of that country or territory, but you got to have the documentation. If you were born in the Federation team's country or territory, you need a birth certificate for that. If the player has one parent who is, or if deceased was, a citizen of the Federation team's country or territory. If the player has one parent who was born in the Federation team's country or territory. This is where we're starting to get a little bit tricky. Or if the player presents documentary evidence satisfactory that even if he has not been granted citizenship or been issued a passport, the player would be granted citizenship or a passport in due course under the laws of the Federation team's country or territory had the player applied for such citizenship or passport. So that's the one where you can essentially just say, I identify as someone who would, I don't know, live in Australia, for example.
Hypothetically, I could get a passport from Panama or something.
Yeah, or... honestly, if you want to do it, you want to do it on a team where you could actually play. Because something I found out while looking things up, the Czech Republic's social media manager is also a player for the Czech Republic on the World Baseball Classic team. And some of these players that are in the World Baseball Classic are like bankers. They're not all major leaguers. Now, if you're smart, you would want to apply to one of the following countries. If you're like me or you or someone who's played baseball at any level, high school or above, which I did for 1 year, it wasn't very good. You would want to apply probably for Italy. Actually, check that. There's lots of New York-based Italians who you'd probably have to compete with, right? Because baseball's a big deal in New York. It's the Big Apple. We got the Bronx Bombers. Yeah, we got the New York Mets.
They play stickball on the street.
Yeah.
I assume, still.
And it's unfortunate, Sean, because I definitely identify as Italian. I identify as an Italian. I'm a godfather. What? Why are you laughing? I am a godfather.
No.
So it would make sense. It would make sense. If I were to live somewhere, I'd want to live in Italy. Just eat pasta all day. I saw this poll online where all of Europe essentially voted that Italians are the most attractive, followed by the Spaniards. Okay, maybe you don't want to apply to Italy. I'm sorry, any country in the Caribbean or North America or South America too, you don't want to apply to them. So that's going to take...
There's not a roster spot for you.
I think Cuba, Panama, Colombia, Mexico, obviously the United States, probably Canada, Venezuela, the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico. No, you're just not going to make that team.
You don't think I can crack the Dominican Republic team?
No, I don't think you can. No, I don't think you can. Great Britain's also going to be tricky because I imagine like there's so many WASPs who play baseball, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants in the United States of America, that anyone could find a way to prove themselves as a limey. Japan, Korea, no. Australia, no. So that's really going to leave you with just the following options. Chinese Taipei, which baseball refuses to recognize them as Taiwan. Interesting. The Netherlands were actually good, so you can't try to get your citizenship there. You want to do Taiwan, China, the Czech Republic, because the Czech Republic, again, has a social media manager who is a player for that team. Israel, and Nicaragua's in South America, right? Central America? So Nicaragua, we're going to take them out.
I think it's Central.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, do you think that we could play for the Israeli baseball team? Actually, no, that's going to be tricky because I'm assuming is Alex Bregman could theoretically play there, right?
You have to be Jewish to be on the Israeli baseball team.
So there's a lot of good Jewish baseball players, so I would assume that you would be able to do that. So, okay, so Israel's out. So it's basically like China or Taiwan, and even then, I'm not even sure if I feel good about Taiwan there. Damn, this is going to be really difficult. How are we going to get ourselves on one of these World Baseball Classic rosters?
I will say I Googled the Great Britain World Baseball roster, and there is a lot of guys who do not have an MLB team name next to their name on this team. The only people I recognize is Trace Thompson, Clay's brother, who plays for the Dodgers.
Oh,
I noticed Clay Thompson's brother, who the only reason I recognize his name is because of his brother. And a guy named Lucius Fox, which is just a great name. Also the name of
Morgan Freeman's character in Batman.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Other than that, it's... Andre Scrubb, former Astro. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
A guy named Daniel Cooper.
What country is this again?
Great Britain.
We could make Great Britain.
Yes, and it is not problematic for us to say we could play for Great Britain.
Yeah, that's true.
Identify as a Great Britain.
We could all be limeys. We could all play there, Governor.
I'm going to look up some of these other teams because it is – you would think it's very – like every – you know, basically every white player could somehow finagle their way onto Great Britain teams.
Right.
And they don't. They just don't do it.
All you have to do is present documentary evidence that even if you have not been granted citizenship,
you could
get citizenship. What a loophole. That is hilarious. So they must have some countries that they're like, oh yeah, we just don't have enough to field a roster. So we'll figure it out. Damn, I'm surprised that more people aren't doing Great Britain.
I think because, you know, if you're an American baseball player, you want to play for America.
Yeah, but you're not going to make it.
But would you turn in your fake hypothetical citizenship to play on the WBC?
I couldn't do it with Great Britain because it would also be like as an Irishman, it would be me basically thumbing my nose at my orphan great-grandparents who had to flee Ireland because England was making Ireland into a slave state in the midst of a famine in the early 1900s. So I could not in good conscience play for Great Britain.
You could claim Canada, right?
Yeah, that's true. I am...
they have a lot of MLB players.
My grandfather is from French Canada, so come on.
Yeah, I'm not seeing a lot of French names on here, though. This might be an Anglo-Canadian thing only.
The English forced the French Canadians out of their territory in a Canadian Trail of Tears of sorts.
Freddie Freeman is on the Canadian. That's a hard... I wish there's more space between Canadian trail of tears and me saying, oh, Freddie Freeman's on the Canada team, but Freddie Freeman's on the Canada team.
That's all we can do here. That is Sean Mabes behind the glass, and that has been your World Baseball Classic preview. We have no idea who's playing for any of the teams, and for the most part, we're not going to watch. How about that? But we are rooting for Jose Altuve in Venezuela so that he can be the Lionel Messi of Venezuela. He can finally get his due. Does that make us communist? Maybe. I don't know. Coming up next on the Paul Gallant Show, Anthony Richardson hype is out of control. Is it going to continue after you hear what he had to say at the NFL Combine, though? This doesn't sound great. Paul Gallant Show, don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. Locked in with the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
There's an interesting tidbit that I had to look up myself about what the Houston Texans might do. Per CBS Sports, there is a push within the building for the Texans to sign Jimmy Garoppolo and play him in 2023 while drafting a quarterback at some point in the first round with the plan to sit him for the year and grow. So there's a couple of ways to look at this. You could take it at face value and you could 100% believe that the Houston Texans are going to sign Jimmy Garoppolo and make him their starting quarterback, or this is the Texans trying to put more confusion in the air, given that they have the number 2 overall pick and the number 12 overall pick. And I think it's the latter. You bring in Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe if you were thinking about drafting Anthony Richardson or something like that. But if you draft a young quarterback, if it's Bryce Young, you're putting the guy in right away, I would think, even with the concerns that you have about the offensive line. And I would say the same thing probably for C.J. Stroud out of Ohio State. But to go back to something we discussed earlier in the hour, the Bears general manager Ryan Poles being as, I think, aggressively open to the point that he sounds a little bit desperate talking with anyone who will listen. Peter King, pardon my take, whatever sources he had to talk to Rich Eisen. It makes me feel like they're just posturing as hard as they can to try and drum up a perhaps non-existent market to trade up to that number one overall pick. And I think that this is a way of the Houston Texans saying, sure, go ahead. You want to get that number one overall pick off your hands? You know, have at it. We're not going to do it. And I imagine the Colts will play the same game. And I think the best play for any NFL GM, especially when you see some hard-o young guy who's in his second year who's saying, like, yeah, you're not going to rush me. Saying, like, okay, fine, we will wait you out. We will wait until you are desperate and you take less than you get. Because I don't think the Bears want to have that number one overall pick. They want to get more picks. And they have less leverage, I think, with that number one overall pick because of what's going on with Jalen Carter. I think some team's going to be willing to take Jalen Carter probably within the top 15 picks. But with the misdemeanor charge that's against him, our team's going to feel good taking him early when they're already where there's questions about character concerns. So things to keep in mind. Back to Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson, of course, blew everybody away at the NFL Combine with his unbelievable athletic performances. This is something, though, that I was not aware of. He pulls a bit of a Giselle Bundchen, the audio here courtesy of Big Sarge Sports, when asked about his completion percentage in college, which was 54%.
You know, I can definitely get better at delivering the ball and helping my guys out, you know, but I can't also catch every pass, you know. If I could, I would definitely, but, you know, it's just helping guys out and helping guys help me, you know. My completion percentage, you know, some people say it's not great, you know, I don't think it's great either, but you know, it's just growing as a quarterback. You know, not every year is going to be your best year. You know, I definitely learned a lot.
It's a douchey thing to do to blame your wide receivers for not having the highest completion percentage, even if there were a lot of drops by the Gators. And guess what? There were lots of drops by the Florida Gators. Still, that's a douchey thing to do. Does that drop Anthony Richardson's draft stock in your eyes, Paul? Him being a douche canoe? When asked about his completion percentage, he did acknowledge that he was at fault there. But the first thing he said is, well, I can't catch the ball, too. Okay, Giselle Bundchen. My husband cannot throw and catch the ball. He can't do it. It's not possible.
Is she Mrs. Doubtfire?
I don't know. This is what women sound like, Sean Mapes.
Is that what Brazilian women sound like?
Yes, they sound just like this. What? They don't have
an accent. Was she also on Downton Abbey?
Does she have a? Did it sound like I had a British accent there?
It's just a very proper, like, it sounds, I don't know.
My wide receivers cannot throw and catch the ball. That's Anthony Richardson. It's a bad look. It's a bad look. That's really all I got on that one. That's not going to affect his draft stock. But yeah. I hate hearing that. I don't like hearing that. If you're a leader of your football team, you keep all of the criticism in-house. You do. And I know we would like guys to be more open and transparent, but if you're a leader of a football team, don't throw your guys under the bus. And here he is throwing his guys under the bus at the NFL Combine as he goes off to the NFL and these guys are left in his wake.
It is funny, though, that it is a weird situation where you kind of have to, like, sell yourself. And so, like, oh, yeah, so you had a, yeah, you know, 50-something percent completion percentage. Like, what happened there? And he has to, like, well, I have to say some of it's my fault because taking accountability is good, but I also kind of have to make an excuse.
You can't make an excuse there. You just have to say you're going to get better. That's all you can do. That's really it.
But he has to sell himself. He has to be like, well, you know.
But he did sell himself here.
You should have seen those guys I was throwing to.
it's such a douche move to do that. But here is Anthony Richardson saying he wants to be the best ever.
I want to be the best ever, you know. The best quarterback ever. The best person ever, you know. Just the best overall, and I'm willing to do anything it takes to be that and achieve that. So that's why anything that wants me should get me.
Day after you get drafted, what are you doing?
You know, I'm going straight to work.
There you go.
Straight to work. You know, I can have fun on draft night, but the next day is straight business from that point forward.
I'm willing to do anything it takes to be the best quarterback ever, including throwing my teammates under the bus.
He said best quarterback and best person.
Hmm.
Can we start having best person debates on sports radio?
You know, there's a lot of people in media that aren't familiar with the sports talk industry that claim that we are too negative. Sorry, that's what people want to hear about. That's how this industry works. Now, you have some fun along the way, but if you were to listen to like one of those Sunshine Parade podcasts where athletes interview other athletes and they talk about like business ventures, it's boring. It's boring. You don't want that. You just don't. Dan Orlovsky, by the way, he decided to compare Anthony Richardson to Josh Allen. Because why not at this point after watching that combine?
That's for me, yes. Because that's where I think the path is. Like, that's okay. Where every – and I think Josh – well, what I liked about Josh coming out of school was Josh was a very loose thrower. Like, it wasn't – tight. That's why I keep saying he's a very natural thrower. Like, you know it, Dan. You better watch a guy pick up a ball and throw. Yeah, he was born to do that. I think Anthony has that natural throwing motion.
He thinks it's possible to be Josh Allen. Yes, it is. I gotta say this again, and I'm tired of saying it, but Jalen Hurts' development, which was gradual, and Josh Allen's development, which also was gradual, are not the norms. And you can't just compare every single young quarterback prospect that comes out to those guys. We've had droughts before when it comes to young quarterbacks, right? I mean, I'm trying to think of the truly great quarterbacks who were drafted starting with like Sam Bradford first overall, 2011. Yeah, you had Cam Newton, but you had like Jake Locker and Blaine Gabbert. Like, we had a long stretch where there weren't that many awesome young quarterbacks who were able to sustain success long term until Mahomes and Josh Allen to an extent.
I was going to say it starts because 2012 was also Andrew Luck. So,
right.
But starting in 13.
Which was good, but he didn't stick around.
Yeah. Starting in 13, that's when it's like EJ Manuel. Yes. 14 was Bortles and Manziel, Bridgewater.
EJ Manuel was somewhere around then.
He was 2013. He was 2013.
Oh, yeah. Okay. My bad. I thought
that was like record time. Oh, my God, Paul.
Listen, I thought I heard another name. I thought I heard Manziel.
I also said his name. Okay. And then 2015 was Mariota and Jameis, and that's when.
Yeah,
you know, two studs right there. Oof. And then 16, it's
Goff.
Yeah, it's Goff and Carson Wentz. And then 17's where it's Mahomes
and Watson
and Trubisky.
Trubisky.
That's when things turn around.
We've had long stretches.
Three faces of the league.
Where there haven't been good quarterbacks. To assume that they all are going to be great just goes against the history of this league. It does. So I think making these comparisons to Josh Allen, you're just going to be disappointed. But we'll see. Paul Gulacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text it. How quickly will I not listen to something Sean Mapes says in the next segment? It's a great question. Also, the latest with Ja Morant before we get to garbage time. It's the Paul Gulacho Show.
ESPN 97.5. Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
People on the Twitch are suggesting I should get a spray tan. Well, how about a natural tan? Tomorrow, we're going to be out golfing at Wildcat Golf Club. The occasional invitational. But also, it's that time. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5's fifth annual Bracket Madness presented by Bud Light and supported by Rudy's Barbecue. It's here. We're going to be giving away tons of prizes worth over $50 each. And did we mention this is all free? Prizes include gift cards to Frankie's Italian Kitchen, Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage, Chewy's, the Burger Joints, and much more. Head to ESPN975.com to register now. Bracket Madness, presented by Bud Light, America's favorite light lager. Shams Charania covers the NBA for... Is he still Yahoo Sports, or is he The Athletic now?
He writes for The Athletic, but his show that I think that this clip is from FanDuel TV.
Okay, good. There's too many companies. Anyway, Shams Charania had this to say about disgraced basketball star Ja Morant, who clearly loves him some glickies.
The NBA's investigation is ongoing. There's a lot of questions that they need answered, but there's also, Brooke, an investigation that the Colorado Police Department have taken on, and all of this could lead to more disciplinary measures. The Grizzlies have been supporting Morant. They want him to be better, but I think there's an understanding around them, around the league, around players within the Grizzlies that this was bound to come to a head. There have been reoccurring issues with Morant. And now there will be an onus on him to take accountability and take the burden of receiving help, reflecting on his actions. And the team, I'm told, believes that he has taken some level of accountability so far, that he is trying to be understanding and vulnerable in this state. But he needs to get on track, and it's on him at this point to go find that help that he needs. And what's more is I'm told, guys, that there was a players-only meeting recently where Steven Adams, their veteran center, he spoke out about how the team needs to show better discipline on the road, how they need to stay away from going out when they're on the road. This team is 12-20 on the road this year. They're stellar at home, but that's a poor road record for them. And I'm told those in the room, when Steven Adams spoke out, they knew exactly who he was directing this to. It was no one other than Ja Morant.
Damn.
And then, a couple days later, he was at a strip club pointing a gun at a camera.
Hey. Hate James Harden all you want. and maybe have questions about why he'd want to return here. But James Harden doesn't pull a gun out at a strip club. He's no Plaxico Burress. Although no. Plaxico Burress' gun just fell out of his sweatpants.
Yes. No one knows strip club etiquette better than James Harden, I'd say, from what we know.
Maybe that's where James Harden needs to go next year, to the Memphis Grizzlies.
Or what he should do, what James Harden actually should do is be like a life coach for NBA players, but not like a inspirational, like just like, here's how you do all the off the court fun stuff.
I got to say, though, you got to actually handle it. I feel like Harden probably has maybe not the best endurance in a playoff game, but the best endurance to go all night long enjoying oneself. I don't even think he needs performance enhancers. Some people do. Some people need a little Addy. Some people need a little cocaine. I feel like James Harden is doing this all natural. All natural.
Yeah, but he should teach a class about, like, here's what you do at strip clubs. Here's how you do this.
Kobe Bryant couldn't teach the Mamba mentality, and James Harden, I don't think, can teach the I'm going to go do whatever.
The Harden mentality?
Yeah, the Harden mentality. Go hard.
Also, it would just, so like you said, so many guys just wouldn't be able to do it.
They just can't hang with
him. Ruin people's careers.
He's blowing them out of the water. It's time for garbage time. Let's hit it.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
We're learning the kind of content that we can expect from King Basic, LeBron James, once he retires. We need him back on the court because now he's just tweeting nonsense. He's tweeting about his dreams. Those are always the best conversations when a friend tells you about a dream they had. Just woke up from having a dream that MJ and I were shooting the bleep back and forth at the men's national championship game between North Carolina and Duke. Great vibes. An epic classic game. It was a tie game. 94-94 with 5 seconds left in North Carolina with the ball. My ass would wake up to use the toilet. Woke up just from having a dream that MJ and I was shooting that in this classic game. Hang on, I'm reading this wrong. I would have to wake up to use the bathroom right before the end of the dream. Happens all the time. Never get to the end. Felt real as hell. LOL. Good morning, everybody. He would imagine himself playing for Duke. It's not the most LeBron James
it,
ever.
No, it sounds like they're watching the game together.
No, he's playing it. This is a North Carolina versus Duke
oh,
game.
Oh, okay.
100%.
Oh, I thought he was watching. I'm just like, both these guys are retired. Like, why?
I bet he has never had this dream once in his life. Also, what else, Sean Mapes, is LeBron tweeting?
Oh, he tweeted last night, man, Bronny definitely better than some of these cats I've been watching on League Pass today. Bleep, lightweight, hilarious. Laughing emoji, laughing emoji, laughing emoji, laughing emoji.
Four laughing emojis.
Yes.
Okay. And they're like the sideways.
Yeah, the cry laughing one. Yeah.
Right. It's not like the straight cry laughing. It's
no.
It's the angular.
Goofy looking. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, he's bigging up his son. How about that? And bonus points, it was the night the Rockets didn't play, so he definitely wasn't talking about the Rockets having guys worse than a 17-year-old.
That's nice, at least.
Yeah.
That's good.
He wasn't talking about Deshaun Knicks.
Boy. I mean, Knicks can pass, right?
Yeah, but that bleep, lightweight, hilarious. I do support this turn of LeBron James just turning into LeVar Ball, though. Like, he's just doing LeVar Ball, except he's still like a top 10 player in the league, and LeVar Ball was like a goofball on First Take.
You had a funny tweet. You're like, either die the hero
or live long enough to see yourself become LeVar Ball.
He's like a halfway between Magic Johnson and LeVar Ball online. We need him healthy. Get LeBron back on the court for the most important 4 weeks of his life.
I think this is what it is. It's like he was hurt, like probably drinking, watching basketball, being like, man, these guys stink.
He's just drunk on wine watching basketball. Yeah.
Man.
Right. I'm still offended that Jake Gyllenhaal is playing Patrick Swayze's character of John Dalton in the new version of Roadhouse that is coming out soon. For whatever reason, Jake Gyllenhaal was at, I think, the UFC fight night on Saturday, and I don't know why he weighed in. I don't know if that was a scene that they were going to use for the movie.
They're filming things for the movie.
Okay. He's shredded, so credit to him, but I'm sorry. Houston icon Patrick Swayze, may he rest in peace, in that movie specifically, cannot be replayed by anybody. They should make this like a sequel. I don't like that they're remaking the movie. I don't. I really don't.
Yeah, I also feel like we kind of know the plot. Oh, well, obviously, it's Roadhouse. We kind of know the plot. But it's like, oh, so he's a former UFC fighter who gets in trouble and then has to go be a bouncer at a bar? Like, is that just how that movie goes?
Basically, although I guess he's not a UFC fighter. He's just like a drifter.
No, in the new one.
In the new one, yeah, that's probably going to be that. Yeah, he's like a
disgraced UFC fighter. That's why he's so good at fighting.
Yeah. There's going to be something that happens in the UFC fight, like where he stabs someone accidentally.
Oh, no, there was something. Because, I mean, they filmed it in the octagon in the middle of, like, between fights.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, he basically hits a guy late.
That's going to wrap up the show. Big thanks to everybody who tuned in. Sean Mapes, who produced it. Our Twitchers, our texters, our callers as well. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!
Damn.
ESPN 97.5.